So before beginning this discussion on the pastimes of our Ram, I would like to beg the blessings, best wishes of all the assembled devotees here, especially His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj, all the other senior disciples, too numerous, and basically all of you here, kindly bless me so that I can speak something for my purification. Today is the most auspicious tithi of Sri Rama Navami, the ninth day of the moon fortnight when Lord Ram appeared. I have chosen a particular passage from the Sundar Kand, chapters 29 through 37, which describe the message given to Mother Sita and the message from Mother Sita. As they say in India, Sita ko sandesh and Sita ka sandesh. So what Hanuman, the message which Hanuman brought with him and the message which Hanuman took from Mother Sita. ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य गणञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकधामय्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे I think there are two lectures Srila Prabhupada gave on the occasion of Ram Navami. One of it is partial, it's not fully recorded. One was in, I think, Gorakhpur and one was in Mumbai. And Prabhupada began the discussion on Ram Katha by reciting the famous Brahma Samhita verse. Rama Dimurtishu Kalani Yamena Tishthan नानावतारम करोत् भुवनेषु किन्तु कृष्ण स्वयं समभवत् परम पुमान्यो गोविंदमादि पुरुषं तमहं भजामि राम आदि मूर्तिषु राम नरसिंह वामन कुर्म And like that, so on and so forth. Murtishu, incarnations. Kala. The Sanskrit word kala is used in terms of being a partial manifestation. Like in India we say, Chandra kala. That means not the full moon, but a part of that moon, when it is visible, it's called a kala. Niyamena tishthan. Lord Brahma is describing here that these incarnations, they come as scheduled incarnations. And we have this example, if we go to the airport and you have scheduled landings, scheduled arrival and scheduled departures. So even without going there, you can predict that today's 3 o'clock flight, if you ask and they say it's scheduled, it's supposed to come on time. So similarly, whenever a material universe is created, when this material world is created, all these incarnations, they already are scheduled, which also means they are eternal. This world is not eternal, but Krishna's forms and his pastimes, they are eternal. Niyamena tishthan nana avataram akarod. One significant point taken by our acharyas, especially for the first canto description, that these are all incarnations. But of whom? Who is incarnating? So that Shukadeva Goswami describes at the end of that description. Ete chamsha kalapumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam. Again the word kala comes there. Ete, all of these, so many incarnations, 24 of them have been described. All of these are incarnations of someone, but who is that someone? So the word tu, krishnastu, a very significant thing, he is not described as somebody's incarnation. Krishna is not described as an incarnation of someone. Rather, the word tu suggests he is separate. It's like you might say, everybody is a British citizen here except the speaker. Which means, although we are all sitting here in the same hall, the word tu separates me from all of you because my passport is Indian. So these incarnations, all taken together, they all are powerful personalities. They all show various kinds of vibhuti, various kinds of power. But tu, krishnastu bhagavan swayam, he is the original supreme personality of Godhead, or as in the words of our acharyas, avatari. Others are avatar, he is avatari. Nana avataram akarod bhuvaneshu. Bhuvaneshu is within this material world. Kintu Krishna swayam samabhavat paramah pumanyo. Again, Lord Brahma gives that final word that he is not a kala. Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So we have this theological foundation for understanding Krishna's pastimes in various incarnations. Today we are glorifying Lord Ram's pastimes. I think 2 days before in a brahmachari discussion, we see this not a very cut and dry kind of distinction, but Lord Ram is glorified as Maryada Purushottam, giving the proper limits of behavior. Ideal brother, ideal king, ideal son, ideal warrior, ideal enemy, everything ideal. Krishna is Leela Purushottam. His pastimes are so colorful, so vivid, and sometimes illogical. You cannot use that, you cannot use some yardstick to measure Krishna's behavior. For example, the most famous thing is when Dandakaranya is a forest and there are so many mystics, rishi, munis, sages, very, very great tapasvis. They are very expert in performing austerities. And imagine emaciated bodies, hair, beard, and they come before Lord Ram and say, "Oh, we would like to exchange a conjugal love with you." And he says, "No, in this particular incarnation, I have what is called Eka Patni Vrata. I cannot take more than one wife." But in Krishna Leela, all of you can be accommodated. No problem with that. So there is a group of gopis in Krishna Leela who actually are these sadhus, these Rishi Munis. They are called the Munichari gopis. They are all Munis. So why does Lord Ram not accept them? Is someone prohibiting him, or is there is a stricture that you can't do that? So this is something which followers of Vaishnava Vedanta find it very easy to understand. When God follows rules, why does he follow them? Sorry? To set an example. Well, it's a good answer, it's a good candidate, but I am hinting at something else. When God follows rules, why does he follow them? He wants to. There is no other reason. And simultaneously, when God doesn't want to follow rules, when he doesn't want to, you can't tell him that you are God, this is how we should behave. Then the person telling him, he takes the position of God. Of course, in rasa, the gopis would tell Krishna, "You clap, Gopal, clap." And Gopal would clap. That's out of love. Here we are talking of a siddhantic understanding of the word personality of Godhead. So when he decides to follow his own sweet will, when he doesn't want to follow his own sweet will, the only understanding is that whether he follows or he doesn't follow, the resultant reaction is just sweetness for everybody involved, except for the demons. They don't like that. And we can find that this is specifically what demons don't like. How dare he set the rules? How dare he say we should do this, we should not do that? So anyway, that's a separate topic. So in Ram Leela, Lord Ram followed so many maryadas, so many rules and regulations, and his behavior is almost akin to a normal person. His lamenting, his disappointment, his moroseness. In fact, great authorities have said that just by the loss of a wife, even a normal mundane person will not be lamenting so much. Like telling the trees, telling the shrubs, telling the birds, telling the deer, "Did you see my Sita? Did you see my Sita?" And sometimes somebody might wonder that, you know, is he God? I mean, he can't even manage a wife and he is the Supreme Lord. But that's the Leela. So there is one small pastime which we'll use as a launch pad, and then we'll dive into this narration under discussion today. Lord Shiva is coming on his plane with his consort Sati, and there are many occasions in the Puranas where Parvati or Sati is asking him, "Whose name do you chant? On what do you meditate?" And Lord Shiva very honestly says that, "I meditate upon the pastimes of Krishna." In one famous verse, which we always relish, "Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnuraradhanam param." He says, of the best forms of worship, The best is, of all forms of worship, the best is the worship of Vishnu. So she's clear. And then he says, Tasmat Parataram Devi. Wait a minute. Even better than worship of Vishnu is Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Tasmat Parataram Devi. Better than worship of Vishnu is Tadiya. It's a very interesting concept. Tadiya is connected with Vishnu. Anything connected with Vishnu. We are worshippers of Krishna, we are Krishna devotees, but we call ourselves Vaishnav. Connected with Vishnu. We want to have that connection. So anybody who is connected with Vishnu, even sometimes, as Jiva Goswami explains, the milk which was on boil and which Mother Yashoda wanted to save from overflowing, and where she, in the Damodar Lila pastime, where she kept Damodar away and she looked after the milk. So Krishna is saying, am I less important that you are attending the milk? So that's why he just broke all the pots and he did so much of mischief. But Mother Yashoda was not wrong. Her idea was, this milk is meant to serve my Gopal. So in that tadiya, something which is helpful in serving Krishna, that has to be given more importance than the process of worship. So tadiyanam samarchanam. We also use, knowingly, unknowingly, this same thing. We use articles in Krishna's service. We give them a lot of importance. In the deity room, we are very careful. It's not like it's all material. So what matters is my bhava. No. I remember a humorous story where Prabhupada is teaching Hayagriva Prabhu about how everything is spiritual. So he's telling him, this typewriter, since you are using in Krishna's service, is spiritual. And he was quite fascinated. Oh, really? He says, even your hands, when they are used in Krishna's service, they also become spiritual. As Prabhupada was sort of unraveling more and more things of how everything is spiritual, and Hayagriva Prabhu was getting more and more fascinated. He's a big man, and it's a small room. So he decided to stretch his legs and he pushed that typewriter a little bit far away. You know, just sometimes when we... And Prabhupada said, oh, don't touch. Don't touch your leg to that typewriter. So he was saying, but it is spiritual, isn't it? My body used in Krishna's service is spiritual. So with my spiritual body, if I touch the spiritual typewriter, there's no problem. And Prabhupada says, when will you understand? Touch with your hand is okay. Touching with your feet is not okay. So anyway, it takes some time to understand. So, Lord Shiva is in meditation and he looks in a particular direction in the forest and he offers his pranam. And that time, Sati says, now whom are you offering pranam here? He says, my Ishtadev, my worshipful Lord. So she looks, now she is powerful. Parvati or Sati is Srishti Siti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka Chaye Vayasya Bhavanani Bibharti Durga. Durga Devi, Brahma, Lord Brahma describes, is Chayeva, is like a shadow. You move the hand and the shadow also moves. It's as closely related. So Parvati is saying, but he's crying, he's lamenting. He seems like a deranged man. He says, no, this is his pastime. This is his leela. She immediately understands. Sita has been kidnapped. Lord Ram is mad after Sita. And that's why Lord Ram is saying, Sita, 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 is just searching for her everywhere. She decides to test whether this Ram is actually the Supreme Lord or not. It's not difficult for her. Within half a moment, she becomes Sita. Exactly, facsimile kind of look alike. And she stands at the distance. So that Lord Ram, as he is lamenting, as he comes slowly, slowly near, she was waiting. What could be his response? So Lord Ram, like streams of tears falling from his eyes, and then he comes near that particular shrub, and he sees Sita, that means Parvati who has become Sita. And then he suddenly offers pranam and says, Mother Parvati, what are you doing here? And she says, oh, I'm exposed. He understood. So actually this lamenting is actually a pastime. And then she goes up in that plane and doesn't utter a word. She's like so embarrassed. Now the thing is, what kind of enjoyment do you get when you are lamenting? What kind of enjoyment do you get when you're just shedding tears or in separation? Anybody has a clue? There is enjoyment in coming together, in dancing, singing, feasting together. What kind of enjoyment is there in being far away from each other? Any suggestions? Yes, Prabhu. Really? Okay.
Your whole time you just think about the sun, the sun for you. So what changes compared to when he's with you or they are with you?
Thank you. Any other ideas?
You didn't mention your wife, you were
here. Now just try to understand, this material world is described as a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Right? We hear this again and again and again. Look at popular entertainment. It's a grand word for Hollywood. There is nothing more than popular entertainment than Hollywood. In India we have Bollywood. What sells? What actually makes money? Mainly two aspects of a story. As they say in Hollywood parlance, boy meets girl. That's a good thing. Boy loses girl. That also is a good thing. And then they, depending upon the particular storyline, they have the ending boy meets girl again. So, in Sanskrit parlance, this is called yoga. Or joining, sambhog, and there is vipralamba or separation or viyog. So this is there originally in God, that when there is union, when two personalities, when they meet, it gives rise to a particular form of rasa or mellow. And the taste of what is very sweet. And when there is separation, there are novels, there are movies which are called tear jerkers. People just go there with a stack of Kleenex tissues. Now, what kind of satisfaction can you expect when you just go there, pay your hard-earned money just to shed tears? But people come and after that they say, it was a nice experience. I know of one popular author who writes books about how his father sort of troubled him in his childhood. And he basically makes his readers shed bucket loads of tears. That's his specialty. Not many people like him, But there are some diehard fans. They know what to expect. When they open his book, they know that right from the first chapter, it's going to be, oh, it's so painful. Its life is so miserable. And after that, they finish the book and say, ah, I really enjoyed it. Strange as it may sound, there are young people may like thriller books where, the protagonist or the main hero, he may just go from one thrilling adventure to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. From Rupa Goswami's point of view, he may say, hey, no big deal. What you're doing is, you're just enjoying a particular type of sweetness, particular type of rasa. If you understand Ramayana from this angle, it's very relishable. That Ramayana is how the Supreme Lord, Ramayana is mostly emotion, totally. In fact, if you try to understand that, you also get valuable life lessons from the Ramayana, in the sense that, now this is my small understanding, 2 cents worth, I'm just offering you for inspection here. We see Ram becoming morose, and either Lakshman or Sita or Hanuman are saying, no, don't lose hope, don't lose hope, don't worry. Sometimes Lakshman gets angry, and then somebody else will say that, No, be steady, no problem. What we are going to see now is the complete despair of Mother Sita. So rather than analyzing it, I relished it 2-3 times when I started preparation for this class, and I hope that we also can taste that sweetness. So, Sundarkand, 29th chapter, we are in that situation where Sita is already captured by the Rakshasis, the demonesses. Ravana has given her an ultimatum, 2 months only. In 2 months, if you don't agree to what I say, I'm going to devour you, I'll eat you up for lunch. That's what he says. The question is, Ravana's palace is filled with all kinds of damsels and maidens, whomever you found out in whatever part of the universe, he just got them as his consorts, as his wives or whatever. So why not do the same thing with Mother Sita? Because he has a curse. At this point in his life, if he touches a woman without her will and tries to force his lust upon her, he will die. So although he abducted her, he cannot enjoy her as his wife. And that's why he's pleading, beseeching, offering her all kinds of allurements that, please, I already have Mandodari, my Pattarani, my chief queen, but I'll make you my chief queen. Please, I implore you, I beg of you. And she's saying, no, all the time. But now it is too much for Sita also. She hasn't slept a wink. She's not eaten anything. She's refused to even drink water. And now she's getting all kinds of bad portents. She's feeling that maybe I will die. I'll just die. Lord Ram will finish his 14 years. His condition is just to stay 14 years in the forest. Vanavas, staying in the forest. And then he may go back. Dashrath, we know is already no more. So Ram's mother, Kausalya, will tell him that, why don't you marry now? You have to rule again as the king of Ayodhya. Perhaps he may have many, many, many beautiful doe-eyed girls who will become Lord Ram's consort. Sita is thinking that, no, Ram will have many more queens who are all very beautiful, and I'll be dead by that time. At that particular juncture, suddenly, now this is what the Shastra says for ladies, if your left side of your body, there is some quivering, eyelid, arm, thighs, it is considered very auspicious. Now, this age is the age of inauspiciousness. I don't know how far that is true in today's age, but at least it is said that. And for gentlemen, it is just the reverse. The right side, if it quivers, it is considered auspicious. And then a small ray of hope enters her mind. How come suddenly something auspicious is happening? Why? At that time, Valmiki Muni describes this as Varshena Bijam Pratisanja Harsha. Like a dry seed suddenly drenched in a big monsoon shower. That's how her mind suddenly became very happy. Unbeknownst to her, Hanuman, the Ramayana says a tiny form, like a very tiny form, Hanuman is sitting right there on the branch. And Hanuman is thinking, I got Sita. This has to be Sita. All that we did, 4 search parties, going in 4 different directions. And finally, I was told by all my superiors, Jambavan, Sugriva, not Sugriva, Angada, that I will get success here. So I got Sita. But what do I do? Should I just go and tell Ram that I know where to find her? She is in this Ashokavan. He says, no, it won't be proper. This one series of shlokas, and I could see that many times we feel, I don't know what decision to take. Should I go this way or should I go that way? Should I think this way? Here is Hanuman tortured by 7 or 8 different kinds of thoughts. Like, should I stay? Should I leave? Should I kill this Rakshasi, this demonesses here? Or should I carry Sita away? What do I do? The first one to hit his mind is, if I leave, it's not proper. Why? Because he could see that Sita and Ram are both eager to know about each other. I have to have some conversation. If Sita gives up her body, like, I have come so close, so close, but I see that, you know, she's talking in terms of giving up her body. If she gives up her body, my Lord, and if I go back and tell Ram, the only news I can tell you is, she's no more. He might burn me to ashes by his glance. So I can't afford that. So he's thinking, I somehow have to capture her attention. And Valmiki Muni describes, Hanuman is saying, I can speak Sanskrit, which is like the gentleman's language of that time. But if I start speaking in Sanskrit, she might confuse me to be either Ravana or someone else. And that might cause big confusion. So what I will do is, I will use a dialect which is used on the border of Ayodhya. Something like a folk language, something not very polished people use. So this is his thought process in his mind. And as he starts speaking loudly about Sita Devi, Sita Devi, Sita looks up and she's amused to find a monkey. Then she says, a monkey speaking in Sanskrit? I've never heard anything of like that. Am I dreaming? But she says, no. In order to dream, you have to be asleep. In order to fall asleep, you have to be a bit happy. Or tired, at least. She uses the word happy. She says, happy people can go to sleep nicely. I'm not happy. I haven't slept. So if I haven't slept, that means I'm not dreaming. If I'm not dreaming, that means this monkey is real. But seeing a monkey in a dream is considered inauspicious. But somehow I feel that this particular monkey is not inauspicious. So what could it be? So Hanuman that time is thinking, I'll just read out to you, it's so interesting. My goal should not be destroyed. I do not slip in my task. My jumping doesn't go in vain. Sita actually listens to my message and doesn't become afraid. Imagine having all these kinds of permutation combinations. It's like I have to just speak the right thing at the right time. What does one do when life gives you these kind of so many confusing kind of situations? Hanuman leads the way. Hanuman starts singing Ram Katha. And I think that's what we all should do. Whenever there is such a big confusion in our minds, in the lives, like life shows some kind of situation where damned if you do, damned if you don't, or go this way, go further, go left, right, south, whichever way you go, there is some kind of problem. Hanuman just starts singing Ram Katha. In his sweet voice, he's there up on the branch and he says, there is a wonderful dynasty called the Ikshvaku dynasty. In that dynasty, there was Dasharath, a very compassionate, truthful, chivalrous, very self-satisfied, always concerned about others' happiness, a king who would always think about the welfare of his subjects. He had an eldest son, whose name was Ram. Ram was the best of the bow carriers, Dhanushmatam. Lord Ram left for the forest with his brother and wife because his mother Kaikeyi ordered him so. There, Ravana kidnapped Sita by sending an enchanted deer. Lord Ram is mad, searching after his wife. He cannot find her. Then he finds Sugriva. He makes friends with Sugriva in Matangavan. Ram then kills Vali. Sugriva is crowned as king. He has millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions and zillions of monkey soldiers. And Hanuman is introducing, I am just one of them. I am nobody special. I am just one of them. Sugriva's orders are to find Sita. And today I am seeing that Sita is just like how Ram has described her. So in one small narration, Hanuman has chanted Lord Ram's glories. He has told Sita how she looks according to what Ram has said. And now he waits. He's still there up on the branch. Sita becomes very happy. Now she is convinced that, slowly, little bit convinced that the auspicious signs are all true. Then she thinks about, but again, a monkey? And due to the stress, she's having a very stressful life at that time in that particular place. Again, she faints. Now again, Hanuman is worried. What did I do? Give her some more time. She comes to her senses again. As soon as she comes to her senses, Ha Ram, Ha Ram, Ha Lakshman, Ha Lakshman. And now Hanuman jumps down. Slowly, slowly comes near her. Again the whole that thought process starts in Sita's mind. This must be a dream. A very bad dream. A monkey is coming in my dream and giving me all false kinds of promises. It's not going to happen. Lord Ram may not come. I know it's not going to happen. Very auspicious. So, Hanuman now is trying to take a big risk. He comes there very close. Not so close that, you know, Sita may get completely afraid, but he's a little bit distance from her. And he tells her, "You look like a celestial maiden. Who are you? Are you some Devi? Are you Rohini? Are you Arundhati?" Now, just to kind of take her mind away from this stressful situation, he has told her that, "I'm seeing Sita. She's just like how Ram has described." And now Hanuman is asking her, "Are you Rohini? Are you Arundhati?" At that time, she says, "No." And just see how she introduces her. "I am the daughter-in-law of Maharaj Dasharath. I am the daughter of King Janak. And I am the wife of Lord Ram." She takes her husband's name last. "You know my situation? Within 2 months, I'll be dead. Ravana is going to kill me. So..." Hanuman then says, "I have been sent by Lord Ram. Ram is constantly remembering you." And even he adds, "Lakshman also has sent his pranams." If you know the background story, Lakshman was begging Sita, "Please, don't worry. This deer, or whatever form any kind of demon can take, Ram is not going to be bothered by this. He is so skillful in his archery, he can kill any demon, don't worry." But that time, somehow Sita is saying, "No, you don't understand. I can feel in my heart that Ram is in trouble. You are supposed to, why did you come to this forest? To help him. Now why aren't you not helping him?" And then she says something which is so, I mean, it's like a thunderbolt to Lakshmana's heart. "I know why you are here. You think if Ram leaves his body, then I will be your consort? That will never happen. I can assure it will never happen." And he says, "What? You are accusing me of something like this?" Now he has to leave. He says, "Please understand, you will rue the fact that I tried to protect you. You have accused me of something which I can never think of." In fact, Valmiki Muni describes, 2 sets of ornaments are given for inspection, whether they are belonging to Sita's. So the nupur, or the ankle belts, and the amulets, or the necklace. So Lakshman says, "I identify the ornament which were there on the lotus feet. The ankle belts I can identify. But the shoulder, arm, or the neck ornaments, I don't know, because I never saw them. My gaze was always at her lotus feet. I didn't even see anything beyond that." So now to hear that even Lakshman has sent his pranams, so that gives her some more assurance. They both started talking. Hanuman came even more closer. As he was like a little bit more closer, again Sita's mind was grasped by this thought that he is Ravana. See, you can understand, after so many days of that kind of stress, suddenly you can't become normal. He says, "No, he's Ravana. He's trying to seduce me. He's trying to come through taking this form." And then Hanuman starts singing Ram's glories. He describes Ram's magnanimous nature, Ram's chivalrous nature. And then he says, "I am Sugriva's minister. I am just a humble servant in Sugriva's army. I jumped over this ocean just to find you." So now, Sita's fears are allayed. She says, all right. First of all, you are a monkey. And my husband is human. So how did this meeting take place between human and monkey? I mean, I can't understand this. So, Hanuman in detail describes how Vali and Sugriv, that particular narration of how these two brothers became enemies and Vali kicked Sugriva out, how Lord Ram came and helped Sugriva, and how Sugriva then told that all my soldiers, we should help find Sita. So the whole narration is described. And then, now that Sita is a bit stabilized, Hanuman brings the ring which Ram had given him. So this is, we can say, this is like the clincher. This is the best evidence. Why didn't he show it before? But he wanted to make it everything gradual, gradual. Seeing that ring, Sita embraces it. It has Ram's name on it. It's almost as if she feels, I have met Ram. She starts crying. And then she says, he has sent you. He's crying all the time. Why doesn't he come? Does he not love me? Hanuman says, no, Devi, don't even think like that. He narrates the exact feelings which Lord Ram has for Sita. And then Sita starts lamenting. It's so natural. I like this verse very much. I'll just read it out here. Valmiki is saying, Sa Ram Sankirtana Vita Shoka. By chanting Lord Ram's name, Sa, Sita, feminine, Sa Ram Sankirtana Vita Shoka. She became relieved of her lamentation by chanting Lord Ram's name, Ramasya Shokena Samana Shoka. Hearing Lord Ram's lamenting, she started lamenting again. This is what any Ramayana reader would find himself like drowning again and again and again. Ramayana is like a sea of emotions. And compared to that, we find our Kali Yuga lives here, they are so, you know what they say, prosaic. There is not much emotion, but we hanker for it. And just like people go to a movie where there is so much of tragedy or read Shakespeare's tragedies and they shed tears, that is considered to be a perverted reflection of this original thing. From a very Vedantic perspective, Krishna and his energies, they are never separate. Never. No one can separate. Just like you can't separate the sun from the sunshine, you cannot separate Ram from Sita. So this is all considered a pastime. Something orchestrated by the Lord personally, his internal energies. You may say then, what about villains like Ravana, Kumbhakarna? They are simply incidental to the whole story. They get their due. Just because they are participants in that, I remember in Mumbai Juhu, there is a big struggle for the land. And such a big intrigue. I think Giriraj Maharaj is writing the whole story now. How ISKCON got that Juhu property. That particular owner, he was not exactly the owner, but he was a manager. And Prabhupada said, I was praying to Narasimha Dev to take him away. Like normally, devotees, we don't wish, like, let him change his body. We don't say like that. Change we must. But the fact is, this person was troubling the devotees so much And then there was some issue, some social issue within ISKCON, and some devotees had a difference of opinion as to how to further take Lord Chaitanya's movement. Some are saying book distribution should be done this way, some are saying not this particular way. Harinam, temples construction, Ratyatras, festivals. So Prabhupada kind of harmonized the whole thing by saying, don't worry, devotees may have different ideas as to how to push on the movement. And then he took on some prominent devotees' names. He says, he's going back to Godhead because he gave his life for serving Mahaprabhu's movement. He's going back to Godhead. He's going back to Godhead. So he took all the main personalities involved in that discussion and he said, they're all going back to Godhead. And then he took the name of this manager of this land and he said, perhaps he has to wait. So, from one point of view, who knows, that personality also could be a participant in this Juhu Leela, Radha Ras Bihari's Leela. But, just because you are a participant in that Leela, doesn't mean you enjoy the same way. Another point which comes to my mind is, in Krishna Leela, Chanura Mustika Shala Toshala, these are the big Magadhan wrestlers in Kamsa's army. They see Krishna and Balaram and they are beating them, pummeling them, punching them. And Krishna and Balaram are actually enjoying. So when you give something, you treat some in a particular way, the Lord, and the Lord is happy, that makes you a devotee, correct? No. Krishna is Rasaraj. He can extract happiness from any situation. He's always happy. Eka rasa. The Supreme Absolute Truth is described as eka rasa. So even that lamentation, even that crying, even that moment of despair, that is all considered sweet. How? Now I've just come for the first time in the UK. But I remember, now I see sometimes in these confectionery shops there are so many ways in which sweets are made. In my childhood, one of my relatives, she had made a cake in the form of a railway engine. Old style, remember the steam locomotive. So it had wheels, it had three bogies, and everything, it was colored, you know, just like a railway engine. Now if somebody says, I would like to eat the wheel, because it's a birthday cake kind of thing. Somebody says, I would like to eat the main body of the engine. Somebody says, no, I prefer the bogie. What kind of taste sensation would you expect? It's all sweet. The whole thing is a cake. Take any part, it's all a cake. So, Krishna Leela or Ram Leela, touch any part, it's basically a sweet. And sorry to say, but every material subject matter, it's like a doll made from salt. A big doll made from salt. Like the doll has an umbrella, or she has a dress, or she has a flower basket. Touch any part, you may say, I think the flower could be more sweeter than her dress or the head. Or no, everything is salt. So this is something which we devotees, we have to do some mental jugglery. This world appears to be filled with variety, isn't it? If this rock concert doesn't help you, maybe there's the next one coming next week. Or there is always a new serial next week. Or there is a new blockbuster coming in the next 6 months. And the Shastras and the Acharyas say it's all the same. You say, come on, it's not all the same. There is so much of variety. This new superstar has retired. There is a new one coming up. There is a new bestseller. How can you paint everything with such a broad brush that everything is the same? But that's what the Shastras say. And conversely, I am struggling with it in my own life. spiritual life seems to be so variegated, but it looks like the same, getting up early in the morning, chanting the same Mangalarti, sitting down chanting same 16 rounds. Actually, you feel when somebody says, what do you Hare Krishnas do for variety? Prabhupada was asked that, Giriraj Maharaj asked Prabhupada that somebody said, what do you do for recreation? Prabhupada said, we have only recreation. Is it true? Help me, I'm struggling. So my struggle is not with the spiritual variety, my struggle is my own ego. My own ego, even if it is enjoying spiritual topics, even if it is enjoying devotee association, it's like, why he was glorified? Why his devotional exploits were extolled? Why his book distribution things were described? Why not mine? So this is that Ravana mentality. So Hanuman and Ravana both are in one way pursuing the same goal. How's the same goal? Previously Ravana wanted Sita and he got her. Did he actually get Sita? He thought he got Sita. In the Purana that he described, what he got was a Maya Sita, the illusion. The illusion was not, it's not like when you touch Sita, suddenly she becomes illusion. The idea that I can get separate enjoyment away from Krishna, away from Krishna devotion service, and already your Maya Sita is created for you. Hanuman, on the other hand, was not looking at himself as an enjoyer. In fact, he suffered a lot. But throughout this whole thing, he kept himself as, in fact, in one point he says, Sita Devi, mother, please understand, I am just one single soldier in Sugriva's army. Imagine how much I did. Everybody else is a much better soldier than me. So don't worry. So then, Sita's lamentation now really, really goes in the other track. So finally seeing her, and I have 5 minutes left, then we'll have some comments or some questions if you have any. Hanuman cannot stand that. He says, sit on my back. Right now, I'll put an end to this. Sit on my back. I'll fight any kind of demons or whoever comes here. Right now, within moments, I'll land you in the place where Lord Ram is staying. Sita should have taken that offer. But she says, no. And she gives her reasons. She says, wait, don't be impatient. While you are saying I can carry you on my back, I may fall. I am a woman. I may faint. Going at, flying at such a height, I might just faint. You could be attacked by the Rakshasas. And in that scuffle, somebody might kill me. And then she gives the most important reason. I don't want to be touched by any other male again. Ravana once touched me, but that was against my wishes. I don't want that experience again. I want Ram to come and rescue me from Ravana, as befitting his position as a Kshatriya. So, now this is the Sundarkand 38 chapter, where we end. She says, can you give me some evidence? He gave the mudrika, the ring. So now, sorry, Hanuman is saying that I need to convey this message that I actually met Sita, I talked with her, I gave her the ring. She's just waiting for you, Ram, to please come. So please hurry up. How can I convince him that I actually met you? She says, all right. Now this thing happened when only two of us were there. Even Lakshman was not there. One day my Lord was taking rest with his head on my lap. At that time, a crow we later came to know that he was Indra's own son. He came and started clawing me on my body, and then he attacked my chest. Blood started flowing. Lord Ram woke up. He had blood drops on his face. He says, "Who did this?" He put on his bow. He put on his arrow on his bow. The crow, his name was Jayanta, he fled away. And Lord Ram was about to shoot an arrow. And suddenly, after circumambulating the whole world, the same crow fell at Ram's feet and says, "I'm sorry." What do you do with such an attacker? You did that and now you're saying sorry? But she says, "My lord is so magnanimous that he said, look, if I put on this arrow will not go in vain. So I won't kill you. But this will destroy one eye." Now I don't know, I'm professing my ignorance. You have crows here or ravens? Crows? I saw them big size, so I thought they could be ravens or whatever. Do they have only one eye? No, they have both? I don't know. Maybe India. But I have seen a park where I go, the crows are always looking like this. So we need to, of course, I have less faith in the Shastra, but it says the name of a crow, the Sanskrit word for a crow is Dhvanksha. Dhvasta yasya aksha, one whose one eye is destroyed. We also have Vayasam, Tatvayasam, Tirtha, that there are many other words, but this one is Dhvanksha, one whose eye got destroyed. So Hanuman said, okay, now I can tell Ram this story. So now I have... Finally he says, don't lose hope. We are coming with a big army. So big. Prabhupada, I like Prabhupada's choice of words. That Prabhupada says, Vaishnavas sometimes look timid. I mean, we are Trinadapi Suni Chena. And okay, Prabhu, Amito Kangal. I'm so fallen. But he says, when the time comes... when the time is right, and when Krishna wills it, that's important. Prabhupada writes, I think it's in some conversation or in a purport, that Lord Ram fought with Ravana and taught him a lesson unparalleled in human history. These words are important. Taught a lesson unparalleled in human history. So this is what Ram can do. Prabhupada says, a Vaishnava is a hero. We may not look as heroes ourselves. Don't worry. In our own private lives, we are heroes. In our own fight against Maya, we can either... really, we are heroes and heroines, both. But that's our own private battle. And our ideals are Arjun and Hanuman. So these two valiant Vaishnavas, they fought for Krishna's cause or Ram's cause, and that's how they became glorious. So in the end, Sita gives Hanuman a chudamani. Although a lot of her jewelry was actually, she threw it and the monkeys then found it. But there was one jewel, she gave it to Hanuman and say, please go and tell Lord Ram, I can't bear it any longer. And then of course Hanuman, in order to teach the Rakshasas of Ravana a lesson, he destroys the Ashok Vatika, then he destroys whole of Lanka, he sets it on fire, but that's another story. So I would like to end here. Thank you very much for being such a kind and patient audience. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Bhakta Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ji ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comments, corrections?